All right, y'all ready to start here? We'll pick it up on part three of lesson number 18 on the devil. In part three, we're going to look at the minions of the devil. That's about the best word I could come up with for it, but basically all of his helpers. If you look there in Ephesians chapter 6, the minions of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me, please, in verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so that covers all of these principalities and powers, all the minions, all the helpers of the devil. The first one we'll look at is the sons of God. I had a question on that last week. I didn't want to go in too in-depth in it, but we'll look at that some more now. Starting there in Job chapter 1, amen. Or ask and you'll receive something. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So we see the sons of God connected with Satan going to and fro in the earth. Look again in Job chapter 2. You'll see the same thing again. Verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So they're connected. There's no doubt about the sons of God and Satan being connected. The Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So there you go. So we have these sons of God connected with Satan right there in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. Look with me in Job chapter 38. Where did the sons of God start out? Where did they come from? Well, they were here before you and I. They were here on the original earth in the original creation. Job chapter 38, verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. The original earth has foundations. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? So the earth has a cornerstone. That's a weird thing to say about a circle, isn't it? About a ball, isn't it? So it may be the original earth was a different shape than a circle. Verse 6, Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together. What are the stars? Angels, you find that in Revelation chapter 1. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. See? Scripture with Scripture. So we know angels are stars. Stars are angels. He's called the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts. And many times the stars are called the hosts of heaven. You see that? The connection between angels and stars. See? You want to see where the stars are? You go to the city of angels, Los Angeles. See? And connected there. You find stars and angels together. So he says in verse 7, When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There was a day when the sons of God were there, and that original earth was created, and they're shouting for joy. So obviously when the devil fell, they followed the devil. And they fell right along with the devil. So look over there in Genesis chapter 6. Hold your place in Genesis 6. Look back in Genesis 3. We know the devil falls. What does he want? He wants his possession back, the earth. He wants what's his, and he's out to get it back. So here he comes. God puts Adam and Eve in a garden. Everything's perfect. And here comes the devil. He comes lying to the woman, verse 4 of Genesis 3. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Bold-faced lie. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. Small g. Ye shall be as who? What are gods? How would they know what they are? See, it's like if I said, you shall be as, I'd have to give you something that you've seen, something you recognize. So it's obvious the sons of God are already there. They've already seen them. And the promise is you'll be like them. See, look over there in Genesis 6. Verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. There they are, commingling, trying to destroy the seed and prevent the promised seed that God had promised back there in Genesis 3 from coming through. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. There's Jupiter and Zeus and Thor and all that malarkey. That's where that all comes from, right in there. And so you see what's going on there, and that deception that's being put through with these sons of God assisting the devil in accomplishing his purpose. That's what you need to see there, is they're associated with him. Look over in Daniel chapter 2, and they're going to show up again with the devil when he reigns on the earth for the seven-year period. We looked at this last week about the image that Nebuchadnezzar has, and then Daniel interprets the dream, explains the image and what each piece of that image represents, and it represents the Gentile kingdoms that rule until God goes back to Israel. And so he says in verse 42, the toes of the feet. He just got done talking about the Roman kingdom. Now he's going into the Antichrist kingdom. Verse 42. Starts at the head, goes down to the toes. As the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they, who's they? Where did the they come from? You want to explain that to me? Where did that they come from? See? It just all of a sudden there's a they. Read that going down and then say, where did they come from? Look at verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of... You see how that thing, just the Lord just throws that thing in there like out of nowhere? All of a sudden there's a they in there? Who are these they? Yeah, whatever they do, and what are they doing? They're cleaving with one another. They're mixing with the seed of men. See that thing? Same thing they were doing in Genesis chapter 6. Well, what are these days? What does verse 44 say? They're kings. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. See? They're kings. How many are there going to be? 10 toes, 10 kings. Those are the 10 kings with the Antichrist, and they're the sons of God. And that's going to, who's going to rule with the Antichrist, is those sons of God. Look over in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, Antichrist kingdom, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth, it devoured and brake in pieces. What kind of teeth were they? What were those toes? Yeah, watch that iron. Iron. It devoured, break of pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns, like the 10 toes. These are 10 kings, see? I considered the horns, the ten kings, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man. So these ten kings, do they have eyes like the eyes of man? No, or it wouldn't say that the other one did. He's different from them. He's different than those other horns. This one has eyes like the eyes of a man. So what do the other ones have eyes like? I don't know. Ain't that wild? I wonder if they're just big, round, slanted eyes. And big heads. And which one? Oh, really? Oh, man, that's wild stuff there, brother. Woo! Yeah, that's out on the realm there, man. Don't hurt yourself. little horn. Before, there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great thing. In this horn, which means the other horns there weren't. See? It's weird. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. The return of Jesus Christ, second advent, takes them out. Boom. See? Look there again. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. He gives you the explanation, verse 24. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. Then where'd they come from? Whence comest thou? From going to and fro in the earth. They arise. They don't descend from other planets. They arise. What is that? And another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. There he is. That's your Antichrist. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until time and times and dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take it away his dominion. Boom. All right, your time's up. Bam! Lord comes back. That's it. Over with. No problem for the Lord. He takes them out. All right, so that'll be their end. That's. Mm-hmm. See, that's the saints of the Most High. Now you check that your concordance on that. Saints of the Most High isn't you and I. We're the saints. But then you got the saints of the Most High. Different group of people. See, that's your tribulation saints. That's your tribulation saints. They're the saints of the Most High. Right. Oh, probably is. You know, that's one of those things like anything else. If you just take some verses without the others, you can prove anything. Take all the verses together. You've got a rapture in the tribulation. There's no doubt about it. There is a tribulation rapture. But there's also a rapture of the church. And what happens is they can't discern and rightly divide the difference between the two. And that's what gets them messed up. See, look over there in Revelation chapter 13 on these sons of God. Revelation 13. Now you got to admit, there's a little more in the Bible than you probably thought at first. A few things in here you might not have been aware of. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Yeah, amen. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Where'd the horns come from? They rose up out of the sea, having seven heads and upon his horns, 10 crowns, 10 kings. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Ooh, he's a leopard. See? Got cat's eyes. Hmm. Leopard has a mark. The mark of the beast. What's the beast? Verse 2. The beast which I saw was like what? He's got a lion's mouth and bear's feet. All the rest of them is what? That's your Antichrist. He's integrated. A leopard is white, yellow, and black. Did you know that? Yeah. And the black are spots. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Find that a few times in the Bible. God asking that question. Ethiopian is what? Leopard is... He's making a connection there. The spots of that leopard. Integrated. See? There's the Antichrist. That's the one world order. That's him. Taking charge. Yeah. It's just all... Yeah, just integrated all together. Yeah. All fall under one leader. See? When he shows up, he's integrated. He's got Asian blood. He's got African blood. He's got white blood. Yeah. Okay. That's what it's all about. That's what all that stuff's about. He's going to show up as the perfect man. Okay. And so he's got seven heads. The seven heads are Cain, Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, Artaxerxes, Alexander the Great. Cain, Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, Artaxerxes, Alexander the Great, Caesar, man of sin, son of perdition. He's the eighth. So look over in Revelation 17. Did I get that one down there? Yeah, Revelation 17, verse 12. Revelation 17 and verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are what? The Bible's hard to understand, isn't it? Who knows what those 10 horns could be? Oh, I don't know. Well, the Bible tells you. It's real simple. The 10 horns are what? 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. Almost like they've wanted one, but so far they haven't been able to get one. But one day they're going to get one with the Antichrist for 7 years. See? And they'll receive a kingdom, power as kings, 1 hour with the beast. See? So while the Antichrist reigns, they'll reign with the Antichrist. That's it. What? Yeah. It's his hour. His hour has come. An hour, in that sense, just like the Lord talked about his hour. Well, it was more than an hour. See, that's just a reference there. That's a kind of a time period. It can be any kind of a time period. It's just his time. So anyone say, that's your time. That's, you know, your time to shine. That's your time. That's what it's talking about. So when it says his hour, that's his time of when he's going to rule and reign over the earth. That's his hour. That's the time he's been looking forward to. See? Right there. And the scope of eternity, it's not an hour, no. It's about 1/100 of a second. It's a blip. See? But in his way and his desire, that's his hour. That's the time that he's been longing for and looking unto. Back there in Daniel 11, and we'll look at the fallen angels and unclean spirits and devils. After that, look in Daniel 11, finishing up on the sons of God. Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. Their context here is the Antichrist, the little horn. Verse 37, Daniel 11:37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor. Small g? Ye shall be as gods, small g? The Antichrist is going to honor a god, small g, of forces. Now, what is this god of forces? How is he going to honor this god? A god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor. How? With gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. How do you honor a god with those things? If it's just an idol. This is basically bringing gold and silver and rubies and precious things to this god, and this god receiving them. You gotta understand that. How else could you honor that god with those things? That's wild. Now look at the next verse. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds. Not a weird thing to say. Where are the most strongholds? Where can't the bunker busters get to? Yeah, either that or way under the earth. Way down underground. Yeah. And going to and fro in the earth. Yeah, see? She'll do in the most strongholds with a strange god. See that? Who is that strange god? A god whom his fathers knew not, that he's honoring with gold and silver and precious stones. You got it? Verse 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. Now watch this. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Who's the them? It's a strange god, but a god of forces that they're honoring with silver and gold. You know what he's going to do with that strange god? What did he end it with? And he shall cause them to do what? Who's going to rule with the Antichrist? The ten kings, who are the strange gods, who are the sons of God. There it is. That ties it in a nice little bow for you now. There, you can't miss that thing, see? Those ten kings are the sons of God, a strange god. They're here, they're real, they're visitors, they've come to help us. Oh yeah. Sure. Yeah, and then it was the UN, and before that it was the League of Nations, and then it's the European Union, and then it's the, what was the other one they had, NATO, and, you know, the common market. Anything to find these this ten-nation confederacy, baloney. You don't find anything in your Bible anywhere on a ten-nation confederacy. Every time the ten horns and the ten hoes, it's never nations, it's kings that have received no power to reign until the Antichrist comes on the scene, and then they reign with the Antichrist. See, those aren't nations. They're individuals that he's causing to reign. See, you got to get that straight, or just get messed up with all that stuff. And basically, what that is that's a deception through subtlety of the devil, and it's got everybody repeating that now, and they think it's so because they've heard so many people say it. And so now it's not the Roman Catholic Church you have to be aware of. It's a ten-nation confederacy out of the Roman Empire. That's how it's done. You see how you switch that thing just that little bit, get their eyes off the ball, get their eyes off of where it needs to be. It's Rome. There's no doubt about it. And get them on, well, it could be any European nation. You see how they switch the ball on you? See, I'll sleight of hand, and it's what happened. There it is. That's all it's done. Okay. All right, let's look at the fallen angels, Matthew 25. When I say look at them, I mean study them in the Bible. I don't want to look at them. I don't want them showing up. Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Does the devil have angels? He sure does. The Bible makes that very plain, that he does himself have angels. Look in Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, there's Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, we know who he's connected with. See? It's the Antichrist kingdom. And 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Well, 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 stars. There's the angels with the devil, see? He takes his tail and he draws them with him, see? And so somebody says a third of the angels fell. There it is. That's where they get that from, right there. His tail drew a third of the part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Boom, there he comes in. Did you ever notice that you don't read much about fallen angels or devils or unclean spirits until Jesus Christ showed up? See? That's when the battle starts. Right there. See? Yeah, right. When the Lord shows up, they show up. There it is. All of a sudden, everybody's demon-possessed, man. You know, he's casting out spirits out of everybody. See? What happened? Well, he shows up, they all show up. Real simple. Look over there in verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. See? So you've got the angels with Michael, you got the angels with the dragon. See? Prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Boom. So you see the casting out originally back here, but then you see it again reemphasized here. Why? Because you're back into the tribulation again. You're back, the time period is picking back up. So you have it at the first coming of Christ, and you have it prior to the second coming of Christ. See? And so all those fallen angels and devils and everything else, you'll just see all that stuff continue to increase. You're going to see the Bible warns about worshiping of angels. You're going to see more and more in that until the Lord comes back. More and more people saying they saw an angel or had a vision or, you know, all that kind of stuff. That stuff will just... What's that? Huh? Really? What does he look like? I was always wondering.
That's what, you know, I can figure out what he looks like. Right.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. It's called A Sucker Is Born Every Minute. That's what that is. Look over in the book of Jude, right before Revelation, Jude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he spoke to him, right? The Chester drawer spoke to him. That's normal.
That's when I
left. And now, wow, that's the kind of stuff that'll make the news, man. See that stuff there. The world likes that stuff. Ooh, ah, ooh, ee. You know. You want to know ooh, ah, ee, ooh, ee? Read this. That's where it's at, right there. They won't read that. That's where it is. There in Revelation chapter... Did I say chapter... What am I doing in Revelation? Yes, thank you. Jude verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Boom. So you've got angels there that didn't keep their first estate, whatever that is. I guess heaven. I don't know. But when they left their estate, the Lord has bound them, and they're already bound in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Who's going to judge them? Who? Look over there in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6, 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? See? There you go. Yeah. See? In our new glorified bodies, not now. In our new glorified bodies, at the last day, we'll be judging the angels. That's a promise from God. Amen. Alright, so you've got the sons of God, you've got fallen angels, you've got unclean spirits and devils. Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. Matthew chapter 12. We'll probably have to close on this section here. We'll pick it up in part 4, Lord willing, next week. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. Matthew 12:24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub." Who's Beelzebub? The prince of the devils. What does Beelzebub mean? Lord, prince of the... So devils are like... What do you think they were like? I believe I'm one of God's elect. I believe I'm one of the chosen 144,000. You know, it's impossible to stop the devil from fluttering around your head. But it is possible to stop him from building a nest. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, when you're talking about unclean spirits and devils, you're talking about flies, mosquitoes, bats, unclean birds. That's the picture in the Bible. They're flying things in the air. Right? Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, the prince of the devils. See? Look there with me, please, in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. You ever see old Roman Catholic pictures? Little flying things all over the place? They call them angels. I got some wild pictures I can show you. All this old stuff that's in the Vatican, man. Yeah, we got a whole picture book of the Vatican. You should see some of those weird pictures in there. These weird things with wings flying around and everything. And they're calling them angels or cherubs. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. Where's the devil's attack? It's against the Word of God. What do the devils want to do? They want to devour the Word of God. See? You get the Word of God in you, you're in church, or you got the Bible, and you get the Word gets in you, praise the Lord, glory to God, you go out an hour later, what happens? And you start entertaining. So I'm just trying to help you. This is Bible. All right? These things are so. What's going on? Verse 11, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the words out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Then cometh the devil. What does the Lord Jesus Christ use to picture the devil? The fowls of the air. Now, is there... Did the Lord Jesus Christ make it plain to us? It shouldn't be that hard to figure out what devils are. See? Look over there in Revelation chapter... No, I don't want to go there yet. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes 10. After Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. Verse 20. Last verse in chapter 10, Ecclesiastes 10:20. Curse not the king. No, not in thy thought. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Why? For a bird of the air shall carry the voice. And that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Soothsayers, fortune tellers. Who are they talking to? Oh, but they really told me about something and it really happened and they saw all the... Yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree with you. It's real. I agree with that. That doesn't make it right. See, people say, well, that stuff's real. Wow. Yeah, it is real. That's why you're not supposed to go around it. Yeah, it's real. Sure, yeah. Leprosy's real. AIDS is real. Do you want it? Just because it's real? What kind of logic is that, man? Amen, bro. So what is it? It's a bird of the air. A little birdie told me. See? Where'd they get that from? He's cuckoo. What is a cuckoo? It's a bird. See? Sure. He's a bird brain. Yeah. He's got bats in the belfry. He's bugged out. He's gone buggy. Where's all this stuff come from? See? There's something to it. Lord of the Flies. Yeah. Better watch them flying things. Look over there in Revelation 18. Revelation chapter 18. Verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of what? Devils. And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. See, the Bible gives you all the light you need when it comes to the devil. You're not going to get that light anywhere else. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Mark chapter 5. Now you know why the devil wants to change the Bible. Have you figured it out yet? Because this study we're doing tonight, if I tried to do this with any new version of the Bible, I sure would be stumbling a lot. I sure would be having trouble trying to prove my points. I'm telling you the truth. You take all the verses we've gone over tonight, and then you go back in a new version and try and do the same study. And watch what happens. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. How many unclean spirits does he have? Okay. He has an unclean spirit. You got it? Verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. It's associated with the dead. We just did our study on Mormonism. You can find out about the angel Mormon. Do you know there's an angel Mormon? He's found right there in Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. He's the God of the dead. So what are the Mormons doing? Conjuring up the dead and baptizing for the dead and, you see? Following a dead prophet, and it's all about the death. It's death. Where'd they go? The Salt Lake City? What, the Dead Sea? You see? It's all death, man. It's wrong spirit. Not the spirit of life. It's the spirit of death. That's what this thing is here, see? An unclean spirit. Where's he dwelling? Among the tombs. You know, you see people, they got the skull and the crossbone and the, you know, the crucifixes. It's all about death. See? Oh, look, I got my crucifix with my dying Jesus on it. See? It's all about death. See? I've got my tombstone. Oh, look. See? It's all about death. I'm wearing all black, and I'm making myself pale and making myself look like I'm, you know, walking dead. See? All that gothic stuff. It's all associated with death. What is it? It's demons, man. That's somebody demon-possessed. Nobody naturally does that stuff. You do that because the devil tells you to. Had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Okay? That's you get into those people really full of devil, man. Woo. It takes a lot of Thorazine. It takes a lot of Thorazine. Natural person would die from the amount of Thorazine you can give to those people, and you still have trouble holding them down with six guys until they get the straitjacket on. Oh, yeah, man. Plenty of them. No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. How'd that happen? You want to talk about Samson? He had the power of God, didn't he? Is that the fetters, or the big, like, metal things that go around you, and the chains that hold them together? Just bust them. How could you naturally do that without your bones breaking? See? That's power. Wrong power. See? Yeah, he's got power. He's got strength. Wrong power. Often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains have been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, depression. Manic. See? What's going on? And cutting himself with stones. You know how many of these young people I see in the detention center? Just cuts, I don't know. Oh, I've got that just leaning right here. But they got cuts, scars, where they just cut. Why? Just because they felt like it. They'll take all kinds of metal things and stick them all through their face and all over their body. Why? Why would you want to harm yourself like that? And think it was good? You see how twisted it is? See? They call good evil and evil good. It's demon possession. Yeah. Yeah, scar themselves. Yeah. See? cutting himself with stones. You know, you got the Catholics over there in the Philippines and down there in Costa Rica whipping themselves and walking on glass to atone for their sins. What is all that? See? It's demonism associated with the devil. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Look at how religious. Oh, you're a Christian? A demon-possessed person will love being around Christians. Now you're getting quiet on me. I didn't say anybody here was demon-possessed. Don't just... Good night. Why would they want to be around Christians? Because they're attracted to it. Well, there's Jesus in there. That's right. That's right, it's not. Turn that light on outside and watch what happens in about 20 minutes, half an hour. Huh? Listen, what I'm saying is, once in a while you're going to see somebody come in here that is just demon. You see? Haven't they showed up from time to time? They find a church and they're attracted to it. They like religion. Now you get on them and you get on the truth and you get preaching, they're either going to get right and get saved and get out of that stuff, or they're going to leave. They ain't going to hang around. There's no way they can hang around. They're not going to like it. See? But there's still that attraction there. They want to work. They like religion. They like religious stuff. Why? They're religious beings. See? And so they're not saved. The devils aren't saved. They know there's a God. They fear and tremble from God, right? But listen, here he is. He's demon-possessed. Here comes Jesus. He runs to him. Jesus doesn't have to go get him. He comes to Jesus. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Remember that woman over there in the book of Acts? The soothsayer? Who's following Paul and saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Show us the way of salvation. Everything she's saying is true. She's following after him, crying. What does Paul do? Turns around and rebukes the unclean spirit, the devil, out of her. Yeah. Yeah. And ruined their income. That's when he got in trouble. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You would ask me that. Oh, it'll come to me. Sergius Paulus is the man there with him. And then this guy is the one that's trying to turn away the deputy from the faith. Yeah, right, yeah. I can't remember his name right now, I'm sorry. All right, verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He knows he's in charge. Listen, when Jesus Christ is on the earth right there, he's in charge, buddy, and they know it. What are they asking? Please don't what? Torment me. See? Why? He could have just sent a lake of fire then, see? He just could have gotten rid of them then. Why is he doing this? Why is he crying like that? Why is he begging the Lord for that? Well, what did the Lord tell him in verse 8? For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Here he comes running up to him, like he's going to worship him, like he's a Christian. Jesus just looks at him and says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Boom, he has to leave. And then the unclean spirits are begging, well, please, please, don't torment us, don't send us to hell. And he says, all right, what's your name? Verse 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. It's a me, but it's a we. It's a Dracula, but it's bats. See? You see that thing? It's one, but it's many. One unclean spirit, but unclean spirits, but devils, but a devil. You see how this stuff goes back and forth in there? That's weird. You explain? I don't know. I can't explain it. I just know it's so. Verse 9, he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now you see what's going on there? You got this man coming to worship him. He cries with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou son, I adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not. Unclean spirit, right? Over here in verse 9, it's Legion, were many. I thought it was unclean spirit. See how that goes back and forth? Isn't that weird? And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Well, is it a he or a them? See? Isn't that weird? So an unclean spirit is devils. That's what you got. You get enough devils, you get an unclean spirit. That's all I figured from it. Just like if you get enough water, you get a cloud, I guess. I don't know. I got to figure it out. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh, under the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. So if a devil can't get a man, his next best choice is pig. But it shows you they will go into animals too.
Okay.
Yeah. Alright. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean, plural. You see how that thing goes back and forth? Isn't that weird? The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000. So you have at least 2,000 devils, if not more. And they were choked in the sea. So you've got chicken of the sea, and you've got bacon of the sea. Actually, they just went down and committed salicide. Or suicide. I don't know what's... Yeah. In verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. He's at rest now. He's at peace. Clothed. He's not trying to take clothes off. He's trying to put them on. And in his right mind. And they were afraid. Why weren't they afraid before? Isn't that weird? You can get a guy that's just on drugs and just a messed up member of society and just not doing anything right, and nobody pays attention to him. He gets saved, gets on fire for God, and all of a sudden, oh, what's wrong with you? Isn't that weird? That's the world, man. That's the world right there. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and unclean spirit. Unclean spirits, devils, we, us, them, me. See? You get into that stuff, it's weird stuff, man. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. You got to leave now. You're right with God. We don't need you around here anymore. That's the world right there. But anyway, that'll give you some insight into the devil. what's he all about, and what it means when somebody's possessed, see. Look back there in Mark chapter 1, verse 32. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them were that were possessed with devils. So it's possible to just have diseases, or it's possible to just have devils. And many times you can have both. Because you get devils, you'll get diseases. See? You get flies around, you get what? Diseases. You get mosquitoes around, you get what? You get birds around, you get what? See? In the Bible something? I mean, it's all right there. There it is. You can't miss it. See? Verse 32, and at evening when the sun had set, he besought them of the disease, and they came possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of the diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. They knew he was the Son of God. See, they knew he was the Savior. And he kept telling, no, don't say anything, don't tell anybody. If they're going to know it, it's going to be because my Father reveals it to them. Not because some demon reveals it to him. See? That's what's going on there. But they knew who he was. There's no doubt about it. Remember when that demon-possessed man, and they go in, and Paul, I know. See? But who are you? See? Does the devil know you? If he was to turn around like that, would he say, you know, Roy I know and Yvonne I know, but who are you? Leave it alone, Frank. It's fine. I'll get it. Yeah. Look there in verse 39. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. What's the result of his preaching? You want to get rid of devils? You know why people get mad at preaching? People get mad at teaching. You know why they get mad at preaching? You know who's mad at preaching? That'll give you a hint right there. I'm trying to help you. Look at chapter 16 of Mark. Mark chapter 16. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. First one to see him after his resurrection. See that? So just because somebody gets devils or gets demon possessed doesn't mean there's no hope for them. The Lord can cast them out, but they've got to be willing to hear the preaching. Because that's how they're going to get cast out. They're not going to get cast out by some goofball getting up there saying he's got the power of God and he can lay hands on you and cast out the demons. He ain't Jesus. You know to do it? The Word of God? See? That'll do the trick. You say, well, how do I make sure I don't get the devil? And how to keep reading your Bible. What do you think's happening every time you're reading through there and you're reading through the Gospels and Jesus says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit? And if you had one and you're reading through that, and Jesus is speaking through the Word of God. Now you see that? Now you're clean through the Word that I've spoken unto you. You want to stay clean? Stay in the book. It's pure. See? It'll keep you clean. Keep your mind clean, your heart clean, and your flesh clean from the devil. Look in Luke chapter 4. And the other way is just to stay away from sin. Mess around with sin, you're messing around with the devil. Can a man play with fire and his clothes not be burned? Take fire in your bosom and not get burned? No, you're going to get burned. Play with it, you're going to get burned by it. We were out there at the Mix a couple weeks back, and he's got a nice little place over there, got some water, he got a bunch of moccasins over there. And the boys found a moccasin. And I said, boys, don't play with the moccasin. I said, you know how most people get bit with snakes? Just playing with them. Just curious. Just wanted to see. Just wanted to see what it was like. Yeah, see, that's a picture of sin. Oh, he played with it and he got away with it. I can play with it too. Sooner or later, somebody gets bit. And the sting of sin is death. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. All right, where we say Luke chapter 4? Look with me in Luke chapter 4 and verse 41. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Many of the people didn't, but the devils knew. See, you know who knows some Bible? Devil. He knows the Bible. He knows the Bible better than I do. If I stand a chance, I better make sure I'm armed to the teeth, man. I better make sure I'm armed, because he knows it. You know who can mess you up with the Bible? The devil can in a heartbeat, if you're not careful. And just stick with it and don't get it messed up and out of context and all that rest of that stuff. All right, Revelation chapter 16, and we'll be through. Revelation 16. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, next week, and we'll look at the warfare of the devil, the goals of the devil, the end of the devil, and the counterfeits of the devil. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. Might as well end with a 13. Revelation 16, 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs. Well, they're associated with frogs, too. You know what you find in swamps? And flies and mosquitoes.
Some of them come from under the ground.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But they're associated with swamps and moist, wet areas. Yeah. Interesting. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, and they are the spirits of devils. See, so devils have spirits that are what? Unclean spirits. These are the spirits of devils working miracles. What? Wait a minute. I saw that guy. He was doing miracles. He said it was Jesus. It must be Jesus. Look at the miracle he did. You can't go by miracles, because the devil can do miracles. See? And they are the spirit of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world. For what purpose? Let's get all the world together under one world religion, under a one world government, under one ruler, under one religion, for one purpose, to worship the devil, and then all be destroyed at the Valley of Armageddon. See, the devil's purpose is to gather them all together so that he can get them all to worship him. And God's purpose is to gather them all together so he can destroy them in one fell swoop. God uses the devil for his purposes. Amen. See? He will use the devil. When a prophet is deceived, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. See? Well, it was the devil, wasn't it? The Lord lets the devil deceive David in numbering the people. Why? Because to stop that plague, David has to go and buy the threshing floor. And when he buys that threshing floor and purchases that threshing floor to make his sacrifices, that's where God has the temple put. That's where he's going to be worshipped at. He used the devil to accomplish his purpose. So we don't have to worry about the devil. God will never let the devil loose on us unless it's to accomplish his purpose. I'll just give you that to think about for a while. Why is God letting this happen to me? Why don't you ask Job? What was the end of Job? You have heard of the end of Job? That the Lord is very pitiful and merciful? Didn't he double Job? Wasn't Job already the richest man and the most righteous man in all the East? And God doubled that. God said, hold on, Job, I want to double you. Oh, great, God, great. What are you going to do? I'm going to turn the devil loose on you for a while. That ain't a lot of fun. Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? But everything for a purpose. It's all God's will. God, listen, God is in charge. Always. See? And all the stuff we've been talking about, Bible says, be simple concerning that which is evil, over there in Romans 16. All right? You don't need to get into all the studying too much deep into all that stuff. All you have to know is it's all wicked, they're all going to hell, and the Lord wins, and we're on the winning side. Amen? And just stick close to Jesus. That's it. Because greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. Amen? And you got the right side, you got the right God, you got the right Lord, you got the right Savior, you got the right book. And just stick with the Lord, you'll be fine. Amen? So don't leave out of here all spooked out and freaked out. And what are the devils? What's the devil doing now? Who cares? Live for Jesus Christ. Amen? You get in all that stuff, you just go wacko, man. You know, next thing you know, you'll be thinking you can cast out the devil and all kinds of stupid stuff. I've seen guys that were called to Bible school, called to preach, get off into that stuff and go wacko, man. So just, we're studying it just so you know it. All right? But you don't have to become an expert on this stuff. Don't delve too deep into it. No. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Brother Kenny, close some prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another night, Father, for another Bible study in your word, Father. Dear Father, we thank you for keeping Satan away from us, Father. We thank you for being with us in the good times. We thank you for being with us in the bad times, Father.
Amen.
We can call on when we need, Father. Father, we give you the praise and glory of each and everything, Father, that you do for us, for your creation, Father, outside this church, Father, for everything that you've made, Father, we thank you for it. Father, we know that you make beautiful things because we look at them every day, Father. We may not thank you enough for it, Father. We thank you for all your creation. Father, we just ask that you be with each and every one of us as we leave your house tonight, Father, and take care of us and watch over us and guide and direct us until we get back to the next point in time. We love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Lord bless you all. Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday, if not sooner.